Too many of us are like Israel instead of like David. We want to offer to God something that costs us nothing. Too many of us in our day and age are like Cain instead of Abel.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
One of the elements that is evidently and clearly set forth in this passage, which characterizes a fallen culture, is hostility and violence, hatred and aggression. And these are ingredients that have become a part of the warp and fiber of our culture and civilization in the modern world. And they're traceable all the way back to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. We can describe violence, hostility, hatred, and aggression. We can describe it. We can document it. It's omnipresent in our culture. We can discuss it and debate it, philosophize about it. We can despise it, but we seem in our day and age to be impotent to diminish its presence. What causes violence? What causes hatred, aggression, and hostility in human relationships? Somebody says the mass media, they're the culprit. No, the mass media is in many ways responsible, I think, for feeding these ugly ingredients in our culture, for refining them perhaps by teaching us how to perform these ugly deeds in a more precise way, even expanding it, inducing people and motivating people to be involved in them, but they're not primarily, supremely responsible for it. They don't produce it. These ugly ingredients which pervade our society today, violence and hatred and hostility and aggression, they are things which are innate in man. Something that penetrated the whole of his nature. When that nature became solidified in depravity, it became solidified in perversity by the intrusion of sin in the Garden of Eden. Violence is a perversion of our psychological. We can be violent psychologically, verbally abusive. Our psychological and our physical powers. Sin invaded those powers and corrupted them. There's no cure for a problem until we have first diagnosed and determined its cause. And so we ask again, why do men do what they do to each other? Why is it that history is little more than a record of man's inhumanity to man? It seems to me that the real answer for that question is not in some psychology textbook, not in some philosophy textbook. The real answer to that question is in Genesis 3 and 4. Genesis 3 and 4 give us that answer. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have what we might call one humanity, a united humanity, an obedient and humble humanity. They hadn't fallen yet. They hadn't sinned yet. Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2. But after Genesis 3, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, and especially in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we see the emergence of what we might call two humanities. There's one humanity, Adam and Eve, but within that there are two humanities. One of those is a violent, an ungodly, and rebellious humanity. The seed of the serpent, it's called in Genesis 3 and verse 15. The other is a humble, unworldly, not ungodly, a humble, unworldly humanity, a redeemed humanity. Now let's look at the development of two humanities in verses 1 to 7. If you have your Bibles open to that passage, and really there are three ideas in that section. One is what we might call origination, or the roots of this humanity. That's in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, we see what we might call oblation. Oblation means sacrifice. They bring a sacrifice. We go from their roots to their reverence. And then finally, we see obligation, their responsibilities. If you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do not well, you'll be consumed by the power and principle of sin. First, the development of two humanities. And we see first their roots, the origination of these two lines flowing out of Cain and Abel. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, 'I've gotten a man from the Lord,' and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now I want to go a step further. We see their origination in verses 1 and 2, the origination of these two lines, the birth of Cain and Abel. But look with me at their oblation. Oblation means sacrifice. They brought a sacrifice. And that's unfolded in verses 3, 4, and the first part of verse 5. The Bible says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now let's look at the contrast. There's a threefold contrast in these offerings. There's a threefold contrast between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's. Number one, there was a contrast in their identity. We call it their properties. There was a contrast in their identity, the identity of the offering. What did Cain bring? He brought simple vegetation. He brought of the fruit of the ground. Verse 3. Cain brought simple vegetation, the product of his own hand, the result of personal initiative. What did Abel bring? He brought a sacrificial victim, a portion of his flock. He didn't bring simple vegetation. He brought a sacrificial victim. I believe it to be the product of God's hand and the result of divine instruction, not personal initiative. And because he was willing to do that, that was a reflection of his genuine faith. It's not unreasonable, so far as I'm concerned, it's not unreasonable to assume that both Cain and Abel knew the proper approach to God would require the shedding of blood. And so Abel brought that offering on the basis of faith. God had said something, and Abel was responding. Cain was prepared to worship, and he was prepared to be pious. But he was prepared to worship and be pious only on his terms, not on God's. Abel, too, was prepared for worship, and he, too, was prepared for true piety, but with one significant difference. He was ready to come God's way and not man's way. And God's way always means the way of sacrifice and the shedding of blood, and the apex of that truth is what we see in the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's such a dreadful thing, the shedding of blood. You're right, it's a dreadful thing, but so is sin. There was a contrast in the identity of these offerings. Very quickly, there was a contrast in the quality of them, their perfections. It is said that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Do you notice? He brought of the fruit of the ground. It is not said that he brought the first fruits of the ground, the best that he had. There's no indication that he brought the best. He brought whatever happened to be in his possession at the moment. Conversely, it is said that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, verse 4. He brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. The fat symbolized health, it symbolized strength, and it symbolized value. The fat was a very attractive quality in animals, if not in humans. And the giving of the firstlings was Abel's way of acknowledging that the whole flock belonged to God and that God should be the first to receive his portion, not the last. He brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. You know, David could say on one occasion, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. I wonder if we try to give offerings to the Lord that cost us nothing. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. In other words, David was saying, I'm going to give God the very best that I have. Malachi was made by God to say, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and ye brought, this is God speaking through Malachi, ye brought that which was torn, means literally robbed, torn away from somebody else. In other words, it cost you nothing. You stole it, and then you offer that to me, God says. You brought that which was torn and the lame and the sick. Should I accept this of your hand? Cursed be the deceiver, literally the swindler. It's a commercial term. Cursed be the deceiver or the swindler, which hath in his flock a male, and he voweth that male from the flock, and then, instead of bringing it, he sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing, literally a blemished female, something of lesser value. I think in our day and age, let's just try to apply that principle for just a moment. Too many of us are like Israel instead of like David. We want to offer to God something that costs us nothing. Too many of us in our day and age are like Cain instead of Abel. We have a way of preserving for ourselves the very best and giving the leftovers to God. The best of our schedule, the best of our years, the best of our resources, the best of our talents. We keep those for ourselves and give the leftover to God. Abel could never do that. Cain could do that. Abel could never do that. He brought the very best that he had. He brought the first and the finest of all that he was and all that he had, and that's exactly what you and I must do. Every Christian must visualize the whole of his life as being offered to God And whatever we offer to God must be the very best that we have. Every part of our life should be offered to God. Our work, our pleasure, our sport, our home life, our personal relationships, our personal resources. All of it must be offered to God. And that means that every vestige of second best must be banished. We give God the very best that we have. God gave to us His very best, His only begotten Son on the cross. You notice there's also a contrast in God's response, His perception of their offering. The Bible says, unto one He had respect, unto the other He had no respect. And the word respect means to look upon with favor and regard. God would not look with favor and regard upon Cain's offering. And the reason is clear. Cain brought neither the blood nor the best. But the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's offering. And the reason is equally clear. Because Cain brought both the blood and the best that he had. And so he was brought into a right relationship with God, which prepared him to face the rigors of life, death, which wasn't too far down the line for him, prepared him to face death courageously and enter the divine presence triumphantly and eternally. Well, we're beginning here to understand a little bit about the formation of a fallen culture. There is what I call origination, their roots. And from Adam and Eve, the one humanity, there came Cain and Abel, reflecting two humanities, the one standing in rebellion, that's Cain, the other standing in redemption. And we see not only their origination, but their oblation, their reverence or lack of it for God, their worship. The first recorded acts of worship, and again, we see the differences between these two lines. Simple vegetation versus a sacrificial victim. Fruit indiscriminately chosen, perhaps, versus firstlings and the fat thereof. And God had respect unto the one, and to the other He had no respect. I think God says, what is the identity of your offering? What do you want to present to God? If you were called into God's presence through the medium of physical death today, on what basis do you hope to enter heaven? Do you bring personal initiative, the product of your own hand, self-generated righteousness? Or do you depend upon the product of God's hand, the finished work ultimately, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? He might be asking us who are Christian, what is the quality of your offering to me today? You might have the right identity. You've placed your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But what is the quality of your offering to me today as a Christian? Do you give to God the first and the finest? Did you this past week, over this past year? Do you intend to this next week and the next year? Do you give to God the first and the finest of your life? Or do you give what is cheap and maimed and left over, always reserving for yourself the best of your schedule, the best of your resources, the best of your talents, and the best of your years? That's a probing question for every Christian to answer. And of course, all of that determines God's response, His perception of us. If we come on the basis of blood and we daily present to Him our best, we can expect that He will look with favor upon us. He'll have respect unto us. We shall be wrapped all around with His love and forgiveness. We shall be accepted in the beloved and placed into the family. But if we bring anything less than the blood and the best, it's infinitely too little. Infinitely too little. And it means that He shall turn away from us. And it is not possible to compute with human devices the magnitude of the terrible and tragic loss incurred by those who do this when God turns away from them. I wonder if God isn't speaking to our hearts through the experience of Cain and Abel.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg at hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
It means that redeemed humanity does not face death in the same way that unredeemed humanity does.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.